Welcome to Chart Toppers, an astrology-themed podcast slash radio slash whatever you want it to be show. We're your hosts, Angela Bell
and Rachel Coe, and we're coming to you from the WJRH studio at Lafayette College in Easton, Pennsylvania.
3, 2, 1. We're back. It is October 31st.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Samhain.
Yeah. Ooh. Michelle, what is that? Michelle, who are you? Michelle, what's happening?
I have no idea what's happening.
Welcome to Chart Toppers.
Welcome back to Chart Toppers.
This week, our guest is Michelle Tomaszewski.
Michelle, could you tell us about who you are and what your role is at Lafayette?
Yeah, I can start out with that. I'm a professor in psychology and neuroscience. I'm an assistant professor.
Cool.
And what kind of research do you do?
I study birds. So I look at, I'm really interested in sex differences and how sex differences develop in zebrafinches. And I'm also interested in why and how social relationships are formed and maintained and how early life stress impacts both sex differences and social relationships.
So cool. I think we'll be talking a lot about understanding social relationships in people today. We won't be using animal models.
Aww.
But we will be talking about people. If you want to talk about, oh, we have asked this question before. Do you know your cat's astrology signs?
Oh, we talked about this once. So I think that Stella is a Scorpio, which mm-hmm. explains a lot.
And then
Francis is an Aries, which also explains a lot.
This is why they, when they have to hang out, they spend time on opposite sides of the bed.
Yep.
Yeah. Rachel?
What's up?
What are we doing?
Cats astrology signs?
Yeah, cats astrology signs. We're talking to Michelle. Rachel is not paying attention right now.
Thanks, Rachel.
No, I was trying to look something up. Well, I don't know Diesel's astrology sign, but I have some guesses based on her behavior. But I'm really, really bad at guessing other people's astrological signs, and so like probably that transfers to cats.
I think so, maybe.
I have some guesses, but like because of how I'm always wrong, that means that I actually know what Diesel's astrology sign isn't. Right?
Yeah, it's about process that of logic. Elimination.
Yeah. What I was going to do is ask Michelle to tell us a little bit more about the, would you call it a holiday?
Yeah, it is a major holiday, Samhain is, yeah.
Would you tell us a little bit more about what that is?
Well, Samhain is celebrated by pagans the mm-hmm. world around, and it relates to a day when the sort of veil between the worlds, between the living and the dead, is supposed to be the thinnest. You want me to push this away or pull it toward?
Pull it towards you. We'll right. edit this out.
And basically, it also corresponds to the wheel of the year. So basically, this is a time when the harvest is done and things are starting to mm-hmm. die off. And so people tend to turn within during this kind of phase, switching from fall into winter.
We've talked about turning within on this podcast before. Rachel, do you remember when we last talked about turning within?
Is that because everything is in Scorpio right now?
That is because everything is in Scorpio
right now. I'm exaggerating
a
little bit. But three planets? The sun is in Scorpio. Venus is in Scorpio. And Mercury is in Scorpio. Until today.
Until today.
So but we're starting to turn more outward in some aspects.
In love and money, right?
Venus might still be in Scorpio.
Oh.
But it's Mercury that's transitioning into Sagittarius. I think you're right that Venus is also transitioning out of Scorpio back into Libra because Venus is in retrograde
yes.
right now. So yeah. many things are moving actually out of Scorpio, but at the same time as that that's happening, there's this like major holiday that's more about turning inward for the months to come. So
yes.
Wow.
Cool.
Who knows? We're in for a ride.
Yes, we are.
Is it possible to turn outward and turn inward at the same time?
I don't think so. I think you have to focus. I think you have to pick a path, right? You have to focus on one or the other.
I think so. I'm just going to blame everything being in retrograde and turning in at the same time on how scatterbrained I am right now.
Okay.
And how I cannot communicate all these feelings. But speaking of, maybe we should think about the astrological event of the week and how that kind of might be related to some of these other celebrations going on this month.
Yeah, totally. So this week we're going to talk about Mercury entering Sagittarius. Mercury's been in Scorpio for a while.
What is Mercury?
And Mercury is a planet that has a lot to do with communication. So I totally think of Mercury as the planet of communication. And so each of us individually has a Mercury placement. And I, like, blame my Mercury in Taurus for, like, communicating the way that I do, which is, like, I don't know what Taurus would be. Taurus likes comfy couches. So that's how I communicate. And
you don't always know what you're feeling until it's exploding. That's Taurus.
That's more Taurus. Yeah. I don't quite know how to, like, pair that with Mercury just yet. And as Mercury is this, like, planet of communication, but I can see that being, like, a definite, like, communication problem if you don't know what you're feeling until it's, like, exploding inside you. Angela knows a lot about tortoises.
Taurus.
I don't know.
Taurians.
Great.
And moving on.
Taurus.
Great. Moving on. Mercury in Sagittarius is sloppy with details, likes to think bigger than what's humanly possible, and is always down to learn lots of things. And so while Scorpio is this sign of real introspection and wanting to sort of, like, dive deep, Sagittarius is more concerned with breadth than depth.
Cool. So what we're going to do is we're going to play a song to reflect this astrological event of the week. And then we're going to ask Michelle about how she feels about this event.
Oh, no.
And then we're going to get into Michelle's horoscope. And
we're also going to play a secret quiz game.
Oh, yeah. That's going to happen
coming up after this
after
break.
The song. All right. We'll get into the song.
BRB.
Bye.
When I grow up, I'll be stable. When I grow up, I'll turn the tables. When I
right, welcome back. You just listened to, Angela, what did we just listen to?
We listened to When I Grow Up by Garbage.
And other than the fact that you've seen Garbage twice in the last week.
One of those with Michelle. We had the best time.
It was amazing.
Why that song for Mercury in Sagittarius?
Well, I'm thinking about how Scorpio's been a really hard month and we're looking toward Sagittarius for hope. Right. I think that's how we're kind of framing this. And When I Grow Up has always been a song about hope for me. I think, like, when you just think about your future and you're like, things are going to be different when I'm in charge, or things are going to be different when I have some stability or more support, or after I get 8 hours of sleep. I mean, so it doesn't have to be like years from now. It can be like, you know, in a couple of hours after I've left work. I'm just trying to like frame it as widely as possible. Yeah. But there's trying to always look for that light. And I think that Scorpio season has been a really dark time. We've been through a lot in October.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm thinking about when we interviewed Neha a couple of weeks, like after the Kavanaugh hearings. I forgot what event we were going through. It was something moving into leap. Was it Scorpio in Venus?
Wasn't it? It was Venus was moving into Libra, I believe.
Okay. And so it's all about
with it, like the scales of justice.
Yeah. And dealing with a lot of morality issues and like who's right and what's right. And kind of we don't have those. We feel like we're not getting justice right now.
Yeah.
Well, last week was just awful. I mean, we got hit with so many different things. It'll be nice to catapult into a different zodiac sign just for that reason.
So what's interesting is this, like, Mercury changing from Scorpio to Sagittarius precedes the Sun changing from following that same pathway. The Sun isn't going to do that for another few weeks yet, or another couple of weeks yet.
Right? Yeah, not until at mid to late November.
Yeah, so what do you make of that happening in Mercury, this planet of communication? Is that meaning that, you know, maybe like especially looking at like how we're engaging with other people in relationships, we might see like more optimism, or especially how we're, practicing communication in other ways that we communicate.
Before it actually happens? Is that what I'm trying to connect to the Mercury, like Sag being in Mercury before the Sun is? I said that opposite.
Yeah, Mercury is in Sagittarius before the Sun is, right? Well, so, I mean, I think I was just thinking, like, you said, like the last month in Scorpio has been challenging. I guess you mean the last period of Mercury in Scorpio? Yeah. Okay.
Sorry, I'm mixing
up. No, that's
all
totally
of them.
Fine. I'm totally mixed up. But it is interesting that like these two things are like happening at the same time, that the Mercury until yesterday and the Sun were both in Scorpio, and now Mercury is moving into Sagittarius with the Sun to follow in a couple of weeks.
Michelle, what do you think? What sort of harsh realities have you been dealing with? Harsh realities during Scorpio season?
Wow, start with an easy question.
I know. It's just a yes or no. I tried to frame it as a yes or no question.
Oh, okay. Well, I have been dealing with some harsh realities, as we were talking about earlier. My mom was diagnosed with dementia in this past month and sort of struggling with issues surrounding that. And I don't know. Could there be a harsher reality? Probably not. But
yeah, that's heavy.
So, yeah, I've definitely been struggling with some harsh realities.
So what sort of things are you hoping for your future with maybe your relationship with your mom or relationship with other people in support of your mom?
Oh, I think I want to focus on the positive and focus on basically having the best relationship I can with her right now, but also, strengthening my relationship with friends and others. Yeah.
Yeah.
I see people rallying around you.
Yeah, that has been amazing.
Yeah.
We're not going to get too down in this episode, are we?
No. But I don't know. It's something to think about. Like,
yeah, I think like maybe where Angela's going with this is like with Mercury moving from Scorpio into Sagittarius, like thinking about what kinds of relationships you want to invite in, and like sort of forward. Sagittarius is a very forward-looking sign. It's a very optimistic sign.
Oh yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to that optimism. Even maybe just a little bit overall, like less of an attention to detail, and you know, just kind of like flying by the seat of my pants a little bit more, and not. Okay. Worrying so much about the outcome, I guess, and focusing on the negative, but focusing on the positive instead.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. I think that really well sums up what I think of as this like Mercury transition into Sagittarius. And just before we get into Michelle's chart, because it is Halloween, Angela came up with a really great question for us to answer.
Well, I stole this off the internet from Astro Poets on Twitter, are like, that's one of my favorite accounts.
I like can't get into Twitter.
But this Astro Poets.
Like I can't either, though. I am such a boring person when it comes to searching for things on the internet. I think that I just need to talk to Angela more and write down sounds like I'm 80, right?
But no, I know, but I'm in therapy and my therapist is like, oh, you know, on Reddit. And I'm like, read what? Like,
oh yeah, so I don't just search things in Google. Like when I say just Google it, I also mean search through Twitter and search through Instagram and search through Reddit to get all the answers possible.
I do not engage in any of those. I do not look on any of those sites. I don't know what is wrong with me.
We'll work on that, or not. Actually, you don't have to, but we can talk about that when we get into your chart. But we should get into this special Halloween quiz.
Angela, what's your question for us?
The question is, if you could dress up as any other sign, what would you dress up as?
Like just for a day?
Yeah, just for a day. Okay. Like I'm an Aries for a day. If I could dress up as a Libra, which is my polar opposite sign, that's my answer.
Why? Because it's your polar opposite?
Because it's my polar opposite. I have some of my closest friends are Libras, but some of my most I don't want to call them enemies, maybe frenemies. I have to tread lightly here.
Yeah, watching Angela try to figure out how to say that was really fun.
Not supposed to sign shame.
We're not sign shaming.
We're not sign shaming.
But I think when a sign is your polar opposite, they bring out the best and the worst in your in you, and so you respond very differently to them, or the emotions that are inspired in response to those polar opposite signs are kind of sometimes hard to predict. Mm-hmm. So I would and also there's just a lot to admire about Libras because they are so focused on justice. They're so, they have they're so goal oriented too. And I think that is also an Aries thing, but Aries like really like starting projects and not really finishing things. And Aries are also not about justice. It's just about being right. So it has nothing to do with getting justice. It just is about feeling smart.
Yeah.
So that's my cool thing.
What about you? Yeah, thanks. Michelle, do you want to go next?
Well, yeah, but I just changed my answer because I was going to say Scorpio, but I don't really understand Scorpios. And so if I had to choose a sign for a day, I think I'd go with Leo because have a very sort of, I don't want to say me first, but that's the first thing that came to mind. But they're very like assured and they very much like are just confident and they focus on themselves and they can basically express themselves very easily and talk about themselves very easily and sort of I feel like I could use a bit of that sort of push right now for a day.
And Leo's your polar opposite, which we're going to get into in a minute. Okay. Yeah, you were, okay. The fun, yeah.
Well, what about you, Rachel?
I'm not going to choose my polar opposite. Well, my polar opposite is Sagittarius, but that's also my moon sign, so I feel like I know at least a little about Sagittarius. But I think I come from a similar, like, framework where I, like, I want to choose a sign that I don't know a lot about, and I want to choose a sign that I feel like I could learn something about, and the sign that I feel like I could learn something from is Capricorn, because I often refer to, like, being, like, raised by a pack of Capricorns. I don't think maybe you've heard me say this, maybe not. But my brother and my dad are Capricorn suns, and my mom's a Capricorn moon. And so I feel like I grew up around a lot of Capricorn energy, but, like, I feel very much in a lot of ways kind of in opposition to that with, like, my Gemini ways being in somewhat, like, conflicting with Capricorn a lot of the time. And, like, you know, Gemini is sort of more, like, you know, free-spirited, wants to, like, go out, like, really, like, doesn't like boundaries or really rules. And Sagittarius is actually similar to that in a lot of ways. We were talking about Sagittarians being kind of truth-seeking. But I feel like I could use some, like, empathy and some understanding around relationships with Capricorns. And so that's what I would want to be for one day.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I would agree that Capricorns are pretty hard to understand, and sort of it would be good to, like, crawl into.
Yeah, we had a Capricorn on the podcast.
We're not going to go through that again, though, because it's too traumatic for Angela.
Yeah, we did have some technical difficulties and lost. We have a ghost episode.
The tracks are there, but there's no sound.
They'll find it on a Halloween decades from now.
So
it'll be
spooky.
The creepy episode. The creepy lost episode.
I think we're going to get into Capricorn today with Michelle's chart.
True.
So I
That's
think
true.
It's time to
have some optimism.
I think it's time to move on to Michelle's chart. And so Michelle's, we're going to start with the same place we always do with every guest is we're going to start with your sun sign. And so your sun sign, the sign that you tell people at parties or on dates or when you're just making friends, when you say, mm-hmm. what's your sign? Michelle's is in Aquarius. And so we're going to play a song that Michelle picked to reflect her sun in Aquarius. And then we're going to get into what that means for Michelle.
Love her.
Michelle Tomaszewski, what did we just listen to?
You just listened to Rhiannon by Fleetwood Mac.
And that was chosen to as your sun song.
Yes.
So what do we know about Aquarius that we've talked about before on this show, Rachel?
Have we talked about Aquarius before on this show? Oh, for you.
No. I mean, we've talked about it as a moon sign.
Yeah.
But we have never had someone's sun sign. And Aquarius is always a strange sign to me because it is an air sign, but it's
It sounds like it would be a water sign.
Like a water sign. Yeah. So what does it mean to be an air sign?
An air sign?
Yeah. Michelle, do you remember?
Well, air signs are very good at communicating. And the weird thing about Aquarius, though, is that air kind of moves. And so it's like breezy and changeable. But Aquarius is actually a fixed sign. And so there's that balance between sort of like the free changing air and the flowing water, and then counteracted with there's a bit of like stubbornness there.
Wow, Michelle, you just know all this stuff. That's great.
Michelle's an expert at this.
Oh, I'm not.
but you just hit the duality. Like your energy comes from your external world. It's a fixed sign, so you see that stubbornness. Aquarians are pretty cool as a cucumber, or they appear that way to other people.
I think that happens to me to like almost a fault. So some people, when they meet me, they read me as kind of aloof.
Yeah.
Because I play it like I feel it. And so I'm not the kind of person to be like, oh my God, it's so great to meet you. This is so amazing. And so people like kind of, because I'm a little bit more like standoffish, because that's the way I feel, then people read that as kind of like, wow, she's really just cold.
Yeah,
so not
totally.
Just cool as a cucumber.
That is an air sign
cold.
Thing though. Yeah.
Yeah, but really my internal state is just kind of like, okay, I'm going with this. This is cool. But I just don't, like, outwardly I kind of seem very cold and not very engaged or interested sometimes.
Sometimes.
I work on it a lot though.
But I think Aquarians are also really friendly. I see Aquarians as I think some people I've met who have a sun in Aquarius, I want to be so close to them, but they're definitely like, I have boundaries. And I'm like, wait, but can we just hang out a little bit more? And it's like not enough for me.
Yeah.
And so I really do love the friendliness or the friendship that Aquarians can offer.
And one of my good friends, Lara, told me too that one of the hallmarks that she sees as an Aquarius is that I'm very non-judgmental. Like, people can basically tell me anything, and I'm not like, oh, my gosh, well, you should have done this, or you should have done that, or I don't feel comfortable with your decision. And so on the positive side, I think that's one of the good characteristics of Aquarians, is that they don't really judge people harshly, and they kind of have this sort of, okay, you do you. You be what you want to be. We'll just let it go. Like, we'll embrace that even. And I think that's the friendliness component that – you know, as an Aquarius, people are very open and, like, willing to let people be who they want to be. Yeah. And kind of crave finding out more about people.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, my friends who are Aquarians, if I am talking about, like, some, like, minuscule detail of my life on, like, July 2nd, 2016, my Aquarian friends will remember that minuscule detail, like, 4 years later, right? And so I always appreciate that it feels like they, like, really listen very deeply and very, like, non-judgmentally. Aquarius is ruled by the planet Uranus, meaning that it's a planet of change, disruption. It's the planet of what is unconventional or unexpected. And that kind of, to me, pairs with, like, the whole air sign thing a little bit, too. What is your reaction to, like, hearing those words, the unconventional and unexpected? Do you feel like that describes you?
Oh, yeah. I feel like I've been described as the, particularly unconventional, but also unexpected. I do like to keep people guessing. I do like to sort of play on that and have people not really think that I'm predictable.
Yeah. What do you like about that feeling? Or what do you like about it?
It's fun. I think it's just fun. Yeah. I think it's fun to do the sort of unexpected.
We're all just a social experiment to you.
Maybe. Except that I don't think about it that deeply, I don't think.
No, but I was just thinking about how Uranus is also rules invention and modern science, right, as a god. And so as a scientist, I think about that. I'm thinking about the connection of you as a psychologist, an experimental psychologist.
Yeah, who, neuroscientist.
Yeah, neuroscientist I don't know. You're like on the cutting edge of a lot of research. I mean, I feel like I'm a little bit behind. I don't have fancy equipment or work on I don't work on physiological responses.
I wouldn't say that's behind. And your research is very cutting edge because you're talking and researching things that are
I'm not
important
really
to today's society. But for me, I'm happiest when I'm like tinkering with molecular protocols in my lab and trying to figure out if I can find a new way to test things. And yeah, I'm very much like the mad scientist, like mixing together things and trying to figure out stuff.
Yeah.
Nice. I love that. That's very Aquarian to me.
I have one final question. What is the significance of Rhiannon?
Oh, because, you know, she mentions the sky and birds and air and, like, just, like, the wind. And I feel like that song really hits on the sort of changeable kind of, like, go with, like, kind of carefree attitude. But there's also, like, in Rhiannon, I think there's also a kind of darkness. And it kind of hits into that, too, that there's, like, something deeper there. And also there's the stubbornness because she's like, will you ever win to the person, like, you know, if you're dealing with someone like Rhiannon, will you ever win? And I think that kind of gets into the complexities of Aquarius.
That's so much fun.
Whoa.
That is that way
so
too deep?
Thought out.
Rachel's so mind much, is just
I'm like
exploding.
Mind explosion. Yeah, you, like, hit on all the things we just talked about in, like, two sentences. I'm just going to lay on the floor now.
I think that wraps up Michelle's sun. I think we can move on to the moon.
Here we go.
And so we're just going to play a song real quickly. Maybe not so quickly, but we're going to play a song for you that Michelle brought to us to reflect her moon in Capricorn.
needs to know. I close my eyes and she slipped away. She slipped
listen to. Oops. Rachel, go. Do you want to bring us back?
No. I don't.
Michelle. That was awesome.
Michelle, what did we just listen to?
We just listened to More Than a Feeling by Boston.
And that is because your moon is in Capricorn. So why More Than a Feeling?
Yes, because when I think of the song, I think of my dad who died in 2008, and that's, you know, so basically I often think of myself as being a lot like him, and this is a song that we enjoyed listening to together. And so every time I hear it, I think of him, and I also think about how I'm like him, and my dad happens to be or was a Capricorn sun sign, and so I feel like my moon sign kind of reflects his influence on me. That was a very roundabout way of saying it. My two-sentence Aquarius thing that summed it up perfectly. But.
That was really sweet.
Yeah.
I have this hypothesis, but we haven't done a lot of information gathering.
The Capricorn dad hypothesis?
The Capricorn parent, But more so fathers.
More so fathers, yeah.
Well, Capricorns are supposed to be the paternal sign. And so I always thought it was weird that my dad was the paternal sign. Because he was very much a Capricorn.
And you have some dad. You give good dad advice. We've talked about this before too.
I feel like dad advice is like real. Dad jokes than dad advice.
Oh, okay, yeah. So like, in what ways are you like your dad? Would you say?
Just in terms of being very ambitious. I think that, you know, in my family, so my family was Capricorn, Cancer, Gemini, and Aquarius, and I always felt kind of out there and more, like, in touch with my emotions than especially my mom and my brother. But I felt like my dad and I kind of understood each other and the way we expressed our emotions, even though my mom would always say, oh, your dad isn't emotional at all. I would say, yeah, he is. It just, you had to sort of listen to it and sort of go a little bit deeper. So I think we're kind of on that same level with understanding each other emotionally. But I like to sort of take care of people.
Capricorns are like softies. I think they're very sensitive. Right? They take a lot of pride in what they do. They want to be recognized for that. And I think, they just are big softies when they're not seen.
My dad used to basically give people anything and everything. He once gave away our dining room set, and my mom was upset because she said, now we don't have a dining room set. And he said, well, that'll motivate us to pick something new. But somebody mentioned not having a dining room, and so he said, oh, I'll give you our dining room set.
That's so sweet.
That's really sweet, yeah.
So let's get into some of the aspects of a Capricorn moon. Rachel, do you want to tell us about that? Or
the Capricorn moon?
Yeah.
I was just talking about how Capricorn's the one sign I, like, don't understand at all.
Okay.
I can try. Capricorn's an earth sign, meaning that they're really, like, practical and stable. And so, like, I think when we joke about, like, dad advice being associated with Capricorns, we think about, like, things that are, like, practical matters.
They are ruled by Saturn, so that represents obstacles or limitations and discipline. Not to jump in, I was jumping in just to see if my mom could tell our voices apart.
Okay.
Back
Aren't
to
you
Rachel.
Supposed to say your name?
Yeah, sometimes I was
Angela speaking.
Sometimes, yeah, she did. I think she implied that I needed to identify myself more often.
That was really seamless, though, because I was like, my brain was like, "What's the next thing? What's the next thing?" And then you just
picked
it right up. It was really like a nice moment of teamwork.
We're becoming one.
Yeah.
I think that Capricorn moon keeps me balanced because I feel like Aquarius is kind of unstructured. And so that Capricorn moon kind of gives me a stick-to-itiveness and the discipline to carry out things that I want to do.
That's so interesting because my research book, the only astrology book you ever need, says that if your sun is an air sign, which yours is, the moon brings strength and intensity to your resourcefulness and encourages you to widen your interests. And so I think that, you know, helps draw you out. But also I think I'm interested in what you think of this. This brings out, this helps how you communicate with others. And so I think if you're in a teaching profession or if you're publishing research and you are, you need to get the word out there on that innovative modern science side of yourself, the Capricorn is a really good position or a good sign to have internally because it centers you.
That's really cool and interesting. Maybe I'd be sort of the absent-minded professor if I didn't have Capricorn, like, yeah, sort of bringing me back to reality and keeping me on topic. I could see that.
Yeah, I like sort of that thinking about moon as, like, a sun sign modifier. And so when you're talking about being, like, disciplined or responsible and, like, very determined, I think you said, like, the thing you had in common with your dad was the sense of being very determined.
Yeah, ambitious, determined, ambitious. Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think, what do you make of sort of having that Capricorn, all these Capricorn traits that we've been sort of talking about be reflected in your moon sign, which is a sign of sort of like your innermost, it's sort of like your relation, some people describe the moon as your relationship with yourself or sort of what's inward facing.
Oh, that just went very, very deep because I think that one of the things that I do struggle with internally is that I'm always trying to be more and more disciplined about whatever I do. Like whether it's working out or like my exercise regimen or like keeping up with like chores around the house. Like I am always sort of making lists and outlining things and trying to figure out. But I think you're right that the end goal is like always to sort of reach more internal discipline or discipline myself more. Where sort of my attitude toward other people is very much more of my Aquarius side.
Okay.
I that really does resonate with me, actually. Yeah. That's very creepy.
It's a very
appropriate
day
for Halloween.
Yeah, it sounds like the bar is very high for yourself.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Whereas it might not be that high for others.
Probably not. Ooh, we're gonna go down a dark path there with
no
like,
sign
my
shaming.
Past relationships or stuff. But yeah, I think that it is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. People have often made fun of me for not setting too high of standards with my previous partners.
Oh.
So.
Ooh.
Okay. Didn't know that.
Little revealing.
Little revealing.
Secrets revealed on Chart Toppers.
Halloween edition.
Halloween edition. Things are getting weird. Yeah. Is there anything else we need to talk about with Michelle's Capricorn moon?
What do you think of goats?
I love goats.
Great.
And also, I just think it's really cool that they eat weeds and they eat things like this. And you know how, like, you can hire a, like, truck of goats to come mow your lawn, essentially, and get rid of all your noxious weeds?
I heard of that
weeds.
A few years ago, yeah.
I think you can definitely do that in Pennsylvania.
That sounds like something that would exist here.
It's more exciting to be a goat than a water bearer. I bear water.
Okay.
I think.
Interesting.
I don't know. I'm not either thing, but I'm glad that you're excited about goats. I didn't expect this to go in a lawn mowing direction today. So
no.
It's full of surprises.
And I don't want to take us too far from the water yet because we're diving back into the ocean. So in order for us to do that, we're going to go back to the music. And so we're going to play a song to reflect Michelle's rising in Cancer, which we've talked a lot about on Chart Toppers. And maybe we'll talk a little bit more about that when we get back.
I feel like Aquarians are the, like, Italian goodbyers. Is that what it's called when you, like, leave?
That's an Irish goodbye.
Irish goodbye when they, yeah. I like
countries mixed up because I've been
teaching. I like a Swift uninvolved exit.
Yeah, Swift uninvolved
exit. This part I'm definitely not removing from the episode.
What?
Rachel, weren't you the one who said that at parties, when you have parties, that you'll basically say, hey, let's leave this party and go to a bar, and then you'll basically shut the door behind everyone and just be like, have fun.
I have done that. That's so embarrassing. And that's so also
airside. You move the party and then you leave the party during transition?
Yes.
Yeah, basically. That's, like, such a good example of the Aquarian remembering things. Like, I know that I've done that, but I don't know that you and I have talked about the fact that I've done this. But, yeah, I've definitely done, like, all right, everyone, like, we're done pre-gaming. Let's go to a bar now. And then, like, everybody walks out, and I, like, shut the door and go to sleep.
That's actually a great night.
10 out of 10 have done
I think
that.
That's so cunning. I just wish I had the guts to do that.
Yeah, that's totally, I feel like that's, like, totally a, like, air sign thing to do that. Well, because you were talking about, like, swift and uninvolved exits. I feel like that's totally an air sign thing to do.
Definitely.
Welcome back, everyone.
We just listened to Love Will Tear Us Apart by Joy Division. Love this song. Mm-hmm. And that is to reflect Michelle's
Rising cancer.
How could I forget? This is my own sign in my rising position. Yeah. So this is what the position the Earth was in. Wait, no. This we've done this so many times.
So many times.
I always forget the script.
The constellation
I'm still learning.
That was on the horizon at
Thank
the moment
you.
Of your birth.
The constellation that was on the horizon at the moment of birth.
Yep.
I had to repeat that to commit it to memory. I'll never make that mistake again on this podcast. Just kidding. I will still
Great.
Need to be reminded next week. Anyway.
I'm so glad that reminders exist.
Anyway, Michelle, why Love Will Tear Us Apart?
Oh, because it's a highly emotional song and it's like dark too. I mean, Joy Division's whole, like, their music was just generally very dark and atmospheric. But I think that my cancer component is my emotional side. So we talked about Capricorns kind of being softies and Aquarians being kind of open and non-judgmental. I feel like the cancer component is that part of me that has that emotional darkness that I like to dive into once in a while, particularly when I'm listening to music. So I have very dark tastes in music. I like the Smiths. I like very, you know, dark and depressing stuff. And it actually kind of lifts me up. Because, if you can see, like, Love Will Tear Us Apart, I mean, that is just so extreme that you feel better from that.
You're free?
Yeah.
Well, I can see that. Like, I can see that as being really healing.
Yeah.
Like, to be like, is it that, like, somebody else feels the way that I feel? Is it, like, solid? Like, is it,
or
like,
even they feel more than I do. Like, I would, I wouldn't be comfortable going that deep with, like, Love Will Tear Us Apart. But that, like, so I can sort of relate, but they even go deeper. And so it makes me feel sort of comfortable at my own emotional level, I think.
I think because cancers are so deeply emotional.
Yeah.
And, like, if we think about still waters running deep, I think that's what I use to describe a cancer.
Yeah.
For people who are not familiar with the sign.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that comes off as not a compliment, but I love it. Yeah. But, yeah, so I think that maybe, like, to see someone, you feel seen maybe.
Yeah, I think so. Although, you know, I find people who have their sun sign as Cancer, I find those people kind of frustrating.
Oh,
because I find them very hard. I just wish they would out with it, with their emotions. Like, you could tell there's all this emotional stuff going on, but they won't be explicit about it.
Sounds like a Capricorn moon at work.
Well, it's curious, like, it's curious to have those, like, dichotomies existing within your own chart, though, because then the question becomes, right, like, do you do that to yourself?
Oh, very much so. Probably. I was I was talking with Angela about how I'm trying to be better about being more explicit in my emotions mm-hmm. and how I feel, because I do recognize that as a weakness.
Yeah.
And also, we should mention that my mom is a Cancer. And so I have, like, yeah. my moon sign and my rising sign are my dad and my mom. And that's just kind of weird. I feel like it's always informed, like, how my parents have influenced my sun sign in a way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nature-nurture controversy.
That makes, I mean, yeah. That would make, for me, that would make, like, the understanding of what those signs mean really muddled.
Yeah, I think that's what it does for me, is, like, it's hard for me to separate out, like, them from their signs in a way.
Interesting.
Or them from you, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do really, you know, understand and have a connection, deep connection, obviously, to both of them. But.
Yeah.
How are you close with your mom, or what similarities do you notice between you and your mom, since we did this with your dad?
We're gonna deep dive there. She likes to really think about what other people want and sort of anticipate other people's needs. Mm. And my friends have told me that I do that. So my friend Sarah, she's gonna come visit me again for Thanksgiving, and she had mentioned that she was so surprised because the last time she had stayed with me, she had commented about the pillow not being, like, the most comfortable. And she had also, she drank tap water, but it was clear that she typically drinks bottled water. So the next time she visited, I had a Tempur-Pedic pillow in her room and I had bottled water. And she was like, how do you even remember? And why did you think about that? And why do you, like, why do you have stuff in your house specifically for me? But it's, I think I get that from my mom, sort of thinking about and paying attention to what people like or don't like and what they need or don't need and sort of honing in on those things and making sure people have those things.
And Cancers are nurturers.
Yeah. Angela, as a fellow Cancer rising, does any of that resonate with you?
I've been thinking about the nurturing. I like taking care of people. I like hosting.
Yeah.
I like. That's yeah. True, I you. Like.
That's true. Corroborate.
Yeah. Yes. I like my mom is coming to visit in a couple of weeks, and I just bought a bed for my house just so my mom can visit and not no one has to sleep on like a mattress on the floor. I mean, it will serve other purposes, but I like specifically used you know, I specifically use other people as a means for doing things for myself, if that makes sense.
Or I take care of people.
I take care of others to take care of myself.
I think that happens to me a lot, too. It's when people are visiting or planning to visit that I start reevaluating the comfiness of my house, where, like, I should be thinking about that stuff all of the time because I live there. But I think more about how my cats are comfortable in the house more than I think about how I myself am comfortable there.
And I think you we've talked about your mom before in terms of, like, really kind of nurturing for your friends as well growing up.
Oh, yeah.
So can you tell Rachel and the listeners?
Well, she always used to have, like, things like snacks, and my house was always the house she went to because my mom just loved taking care of people.
But I know
she would
those
also
moms.
Do, like, she'd do makeovers for my friends. Wow. My mom was always very into hair and makeup. And if you see her, you wouldn't think that because she's not an overly done person. But she was the kind of person who, when I was, like, 16, took me to the Chanel counter to get eye cream because I might start aging at any point. And was very much into, like, sunscreen and having me wear high SPF when I was in my teens so I wouldn't have leather skin when I got older. But she often, like, would want to do my friend's makeup or have people over and, you know, show them how to put on makeup and things like that.
That's really sweet. What do you make of that Cancer placement being in your rising sign, which is sort of, if you which is sort of like the outward facing sign.
Well, so isn't it that your rising sign is the sign that you become more and more like as you get older? And it's sort of like an end game?
Mm. That's your ascendant, which is a different thing.
What?
No, it's the same thing.
They're no, wait, same. Hang on. No, that's your No, that's your node. Sorry.
I thought it was the ascendant to some the rising sign to some extent.
The rising
extent
sign
too.
To some extent too.
Oh, the node is what you become. Then,
yeah, your north node is what you become more like.
Oh, hold on. We need to look this up then. I don't know what my north node is.
I forget what mine is. I think it's like Aquarius or something.
We're definitely off track, but we
are definitely off track.
I had no idea. My mind is exploding now.
Well, anyways, I feel like I'm going to become more like my mom.
Okay.
Don't we all? Don't we all?
I'm becoming more like my mom every day. It's amazing. She's great.
Same.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe should we? We're about at time. Let's bike rack our north node.
Oh, I'm totally looking this up, though.
Michelle's going to look this up and record a voice recording of her telling us about her north node. And perhaps that's, I think, like, one thing about the rising sign is that there are a lot of different interpretations of it out there. I've actually heard that rising sign is what you're like as a younger child before you grow into adulthood.
Oh, I always felt like more like a true Aquarian as a kid.
Yeah. So interesting. It's also totally possible that you're like ascendant and north node are in the same thing. It's also totally possible that like there are many interpretations of this, one of which has rising as like the thing that you become more like as life goes forward.
Oh, weren't we going to talk about the fact that you've had a lot of Cancer risings on here?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, that's true.
Is it a professor trait? Is it a professor trait?
I don't know.
We don't know yet.
TBD. We've had a lot of Cancer risings and a lot of Capricorn parents.
Yeah. So stay tuned for that.
For more of that. On our way out.
Michelle, how do you feel about going through this process?
Actually, pretty good. I was very nervous to start out with because I'd rather talk to people about things or themselves rather than myself. And so it was kind of uncomfortable a bit to talk about myself. But I really enjoyed it. And I think that I got a deeper understanding about some components of myself that I didn't have before. So I like your ability, your insightfulness.
I've really enjoyed having you on.
This has been really fun.
Mm-hmm. And we learned so much about you because you know a lot about astrology.
Yeah,
so.
I learned about Michelle, and I also learned a lot about astrology today. So thanks for that.
Well, thank you. It was fun.
And quick shout out to Michaela Kelly for helping us unpack our last episode last night.
Shout out to our international listener who's... overseas, across the pond, they know who they are. Michelle, do you want to shout out to anyone before we sign off?
I'm just going to give a shout out to anyone who's brave enough to listen to this episode, because I certainly won't. I don't like hearing my voice. So,
And then one final shout out to Ben Gordon.
Sure. Yeah. Thanks, Ben. Thanks for clearing space on the hard drive for our episode today.
And shout out to all you Halloweeners out there.
Mm-hmm. Have a safe night.